Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All the buzz in Cleveland. J.J. Watt. Browns after him. Browns want him. Browns have a need at defensive end. One of the preeminent NFL writers, media members, said something yesterday that got people all fired up. He later clarified. He's going to join us here in 2 seconds to clarify even more. When I think of great NFL media guys, I think of this man, John Clayton, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, of course, longtime NFL guy on a number of different platforms. And, John, a pleasure to have you back with us.
Good to be back. Well, I tell you what a mess that was yesterday. Because I do a regular hit in Pittsburgh with Andrew Filippone and Chris Mueller, and it's like so we're right up against the break, right? And so they wanted to ask because they're going a little bit long, and so they asked about J.J. Watt, and so what I said was that I think three of the teams that are in the mix, I'm leaning to. And not cutting down, but I said it would be Tennessee, Green Bay, Buffalo, maybe the Raiders as a dark horse, and then of course I mean we're going to be real fast because naturally they're asking about Pittsburgh. But again, I mean he hasn't cut down any teams. I mean he still has. I mean there's 12 teams that are interested. He's trying to get the number up to 15, 16 million. But of course Andrew tweeted out that it's like, he's down to three teams. It's like I never said that. It's like Cleveland's still in the mix. But, I look at it like this, the similar situation that was going on last year with Jadeveon Clowney because, Clowney, I think at one point had like a $16, $17 million offer from the Browns. He ended up going to Tennessee. But my big thinking with J.J. is that he's a 3-4 defensive end, and, Cleveland's a 4-3 team. Raiders are a 4-3 team. Buffalo's a 4-3 team. I think he's going to lean toward, getting with a 3-4 team because he's so good at doing that.
Yeah, it did cause quite a – I mean, our morning show was talking about it. So where would you rank the Browns then? I mean, if you want to rank them in that group, or is there like this top-end group and the second group? Or if you were J.J. Watt –
because, I mean, he wants to go to a team that has a chance to go to the Super Bowl or be a playoff team, and the Browns are in that mix. I mean, even on the same show, they asked me a quick one. It's like, okay, so who right now is the best team – in the AFC North? And I said, I lean toward Pittsburgh now that they know that Ben's going to be back. But again, you have to sort out what's going to end up happening because they're probably going to take more cap casualties and unable to sign guys than any team in a division. But I said Baltimore and Cleveland and Pittsburgh, they all should be 10-plus win teams because, again, you look at the Browns and you can see that Kevin Stefanski was coach of the year, deservedly so. They're not going to lose too many free agents. I mean, they have fewer free agents up than any team in the division for the most part. And then, Baker Mayfield toward the end of the season, thanks to the running game and the way that Kevin was calling plays, really came on and played well. And so you can almost start to make the argument that Cleveland could end up being the best team in the division. Like I didn't jump like everybody else did last year saying, Cleveland's going to be, they're going to the Super Bowl. They're going to win the division. I said they were going to be a wild card. They turned out to be a wild card team. But now sorting out how this offseason is going to go with $180 million cap, what you're looking at is that they could come out of it with the best chance to win the division.
John Clayton joining us. And John working with 710 ESPN Seattle. You can follow him on Twitter at John Clayton NFL. John, if you're the Browns and you clearly need help on defense and you clearly need help at defensive end, are you going nutso about J.J. Watt, or would it be a right price, right time thing, knowing that there are other free agents coming out who might be younger, healthier, maybe even more productive? In other words, how hard are you going after this guy, and is he your answer? Or are there
I don't
other
know
options
if he's,
you'd rather
I mean,
have?
Yeah, he's certainly a great player. There's no doubt. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player to that regards. But now the question I have is he a better fit at defensive tackle than he is defensive end? Mm-hmm. Because, again, it's not like he's the end rush guy. He's because when you look at the way 3-4s are run, I mean, there are more defensive tackles on the outside than defensive ends. And so now if they bring him in, is he going to play defensive tackle? And I don't think that if the price is going to go as high as $15, $16 million, and I don't know if that's going to happen because, you know, with this $180 million cap, that's what it's going to end up being. There's not a lot of $10-plus million guys that are going to get contracts, particularly guys in their mid-30s. I mean, you go back to last year, even an unrestricted free agency, the most anybody got in their mid-30s who was a non-quarterback was Ndamukong Suh, who got a one-year deal at $8 million. And so clearly, you know, J.J. is going to get more than 10, but is he going to get 15 or 16? I mean, you know, I know that his agents are definitely going to try to push that amount and try to get that. That's why, again, I think Tennessee may have the best chance to get him for several reasons. One, they paid $22.5 million for Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney and didn't get a single sack, and they were one of the worst sack teams in the league. They have a 3-4. Mike Vrabel's coached him, and then he can come back and J.J. and play against Houston twice a year, thinking they're going to beat up on Houston twice after he left there. So I kind of still think in the end Tennessee has the best chance because they were willing to pay. And again, it wasn't the 17 or 18 that Clowney wanted, but they were able to pay 13 and 9.5 because they got Beasley for 9.5. So I still think Tennessee has the best chance, but still it's an open book. But the question I have is he's not that pass rush guy on the end. I mean, he's more of a great 3-4 defensive end, which translates more into a defensive tackle on a 4-3.
John, I almost want you to sit down and like I'm a kid, like all Browns fans are kids, and I want you to sit me down and try to convince me. Like I'm trying to figure out if, and you've set it out just to say that the fit might not be right because of the scheme, and that makes all the sense in the world. Yet the hype on this is unbelievable here, as you felt yesterday, as you saw that, you know, people were talking about what you said or didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of this is timing for J.J. Watt, the fact that he's out there, he's available really before we hit this new year?
Well, I mean he's available, but also it's like nobody knows for sure what the cap's going to be because, I mean, normally it would be figured out by tomorrow, Friday, because we would all be at the combine. The NFLPA and the NFL would be at the combine working out the final details of the cap, and we'll probably get the cap next week, maybe not this week. But, you know, it's hard enough to figure out because, see, it was, let's say, for example, they do sign J.J. Well, what Myles Garrett then would have to end up being, if they go to a 3-4 defense, he'd be an outside linebacker. So it's like, you know, here's Myles who just had such a great season and such a great player. It's like now you're taking him out of position and changing the whole defense, you know, for one player. Again, he's worth it. I mean, he's that good. But again, you know, is he? Do you want to pay defensive end type money for somebody who's really going to be more of a defensive tackle?
John, that's really interesting. Let's move on to something that's going on where you are in Seattle. What is cooking with Russell Wilson in this whole situation? Because when the season ended, okay, you could see where there might be, you know, a little bit of angst because the Seahawks changed some things. Then Brian Schottenheimer goes, and now it's starting to feel, from a distance anyway, that he's probably not going to be back there, that there will be a trade. What do you think will happen, and what is actually going on?
Well, I mean, you can see that, you know, his agent is a baseball agent. Mark Rogers is stirring things up, trying to generate as much things with Russell that you can have, and you can see that Russell's maybe a little bit of frustrated with things, but part of it has to be himself because, as Michael Sean Duggar and a lot of people from The Athletic, Gio Capati and that wrote today that, you know, he stormed out of a meeting after a loss to Buffalo and the Rams, because he was upset because he didn't get a chance to, you know, throw the football, because the let Russ cook theme was a big one. But then the problem is when he throws the ball too much, he, you know, he makes interceptions, because normally he's great at protecting the football. But they ended up losing four games with 12 turnovers, and they ended up having seven turnovers in the loss to Buffalo and the Rams. And so Pete Carroll basically clamped it down and says, no, you're running the football. And they needed to do that because Pete is so big on, if you lose the turnover battle, you lose the game. And that's what ended up happening. And so he felt he was more of a spectator than anything else. But also, he holds on to the ball a little bit too much. I mean, you know, 2.97 seconds last year, which was the fifth most in the league, 3.3 in the playoff games. And he, you know, ended up getting 47 sacks, but 14 were on him, according to Pro Football Focus. And so there's some frustrations, but there's no way they can trade him, because they can listen. But if you trade him, you're taking a $39 million cap hit. $39
million. Wow.
And if you go back in history, since 2013, there's 13 teams that had 20.4% of their cap and more in dead money. Well, if the cap's going to be 180, that's 36. And so basically, you don't make the playoffs. Those 13 teams didn't make the playoffs. And so basically what you're doing, if you trade Russell Wilson, you're going back to 2010 when you're rebuilding the team.
You think he's back there then, John?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
How do they fix that, though? How do they like, in reading this, in reading some of the stuff that where he stormed out, it seemed like he was like upset about scheme issues and player personnel. And I like, I wonder that fine line between having your field general try to help and have some kind of communication about way to do things, or having him pick personnel. Like, I think there's a fine line there between coach, quarterback, and mm-hmm. and how you can do that. What do you think?
Well, I mean, look what happened with Baker Mayfield this year. Kevin Stefanski came in with the running scheme, the two-back offense, and ran the ball more, and it made it better, right? Because now all of a sudden, you know, here's Baker not having to do everything. You know, he had to do less, and then, of course, as the season progressed, particularly in the latter part of the season, you know, he played some of his best football. And so it took the pressure off, because now, you know, he's not going to get sacked as much. The running of the football, you know, goes, particularly when teams go with cover two, cover four defenses, it works to the benefit of the you know, the team, because now you get some better balance. And they've, and technically they've addressed the issue, because, you know, they fired Brian Schottenheimer, who once they, because what happened was teams started going cover two, cover four. And so now you got seven guys in coverage, and you weren't able to get as many open throws to be able to get things going. And so it's like they bring in, you know, Shane Waldrum, Waldrop, who, you know, brings in that Rams offensive scheme, the 49ers offensive scheme. And, you know, you get rid of the ball quicker, you run the ball more. So they've addressed the issue. Now it's a matter he has to deal with it.
John Clayton's joining us. And John, Wilson is part of the quarterback situation in the NFL, where it looks like it could be the biggest offseason in changing quarterbacks that we've had in decades. What is causing this, John? Has something changed in the league, or is it just the perfect storm with teams in need and money and everything else?
Well, it's kind of the perfect storm, because what ends up happening is that, you know, particularly it's more of an NFC thing in the AFC, because right now the AFC has, like it was at the beginning of last year, 10 quarterbacks still in their rookie contracts, or 10 quarterbacks who are still very young. Because what was it, 10 quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks that were 25 years or younger. Well, in the NFC, you've got so much money tied up in the quarterback position, because at the beginning of last season, you had 12 quarterbacks in the NFC making $21 million a year or more. And so now, if you start to juggle some things around. You know, Sean McVay just got sick and tired of Jared Goff and got rid of him. You know, Matthew Stafford got sick and tired of, you know, the Detroit Lions, and so they traded him. You know, Carson Wentz got sick and tired of the Eagles, and so they traded him. You know, Drew Brees is retiring. Mitch Trubisky's not going to be back. You got situations now where Teddy Bridgewater was being offered by Carolina in a deal to get Stafford, and so now he's taking all his social media stuff off. you know, Washington doesn't appear to want to go back to Alex Smith because I think they worry about him being out, not being able to play 16 games. So you throw all that together, you've got more change in the NFC where you could have half the conference right now with the new quarterbacks. You know, it does look as though Jimmy Garoppolo is going to stay in San Francisco, but they were looking to upgrade from him because, you know, he's paid $27.5 million. You know, he's at that stage where he's only played 23 of 48 games. So I think everybody's reviewing it because you have such big money tied up in these NFC quarterbacks that it's like if you're not getting what you totally want, then you make adjustments.
John Clayton joining us. John, is there a quarterback that's out there who might be in a situation to go to a team who you think this is the guy a team should be looking at? And Sam Darnold is with the Jets, but he's been on the trade block. Jameis Winston's a free agent. Trubisky's a free agent. Marcus Mariota is sitting with the Raiders, clearly in a backup role to Derek Carr for now. Is there one guy that you think, yeah, this is the guy who can be a difference maker for somebody?
I think Sam Darnold, because but the problem facing the Jets is that you can't do anything till you see all the workouts of the quarterbacks, because there's so much you don't know about these quarterbacks, and it's not like you can send a scout to Ohio State or send a scout over to all the schools to be able to say it. That's just out of the question right now. So that's a big problem. But now, if you're the Jets, you have to have a quarterback to replace Sam Darnold if you're trading Sam Darnold. And so that puts everything on hold now until April, once the workouts all stop and you get closer to the draft. Because, you know, clearly we know the Jets aren't going to trade the second pick. They've already kind of indicated that. So they can take a quarterback, but you have to decide which quarterback they want to take. And then you get to the position where you might try to get Darnold. That's why you can see the Carolina and Washington and other teams, they will get in the Darnold mix, but that's going to be more in April.
John Clayton's joining us. John, with one more thought. You watch the Browns. They made huge strides this year, and they seem to be close. If you're Andrew Berry, is there one thing you're cluing in on, and how close do you think the Browns really are to being a big-time NFL team?
No, I think they're close. I mean, they were certainly close enough last year, won a playoff game, and now they're at that stage where they don't have many losses in free agency. So it's a matter that probably needs some upgrades at the safety, and you know, take a look at the making sure they can, you know, get some health out of the cornerback position. So the secondary probably has some needs. Certainly, they're good enough. They have to make the decision about Odell Beckham Jr. But you would imagine you would try to keep him if you can, because again, he's so talented. But again, that could be something. But you know, you watch the cap and you just try to, you know, get a little bit better. And so I think that right now the Browns are in a good spot, because again, cap-wise, they're going to be in good shape. Pittsburgh has some tough cap problems. You know, Baltimore, you know, can, how much more can they do? And so, after the draft, then we can start to evaluate, you know, where the Browns are. But I think they're in a really good spot.
And did you grow up hating the Browns as a kid who grew up in Pittsburgh, John?
No. I started covering the league when I was 17 years old. And so as a reporter, I'm always neutral. So,
oh, come on, John.
A little bit.
Only,
come on.
I can only tell you the truth.
John, can't tell you how much.
When you've been covering the league since 1972, and you know, you care about it and you're a reporter, you are totally neutral.
Now, that is true. And, John, you've always been. We can't tell you how much we enjoy having you with us, and I've always enjoyed your work. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Okay, thanks.
John Clayton, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.